You're listening to the Untitled Thorne Morris Project. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I feel like we really need to get on picking a name for this show.
I think so. First order of business.
We got a suggestion from the audience. Let's run that out there and see how she flies.
As far as what you should call the show, maybe like, how about the BFF Rainbow Happy Fun Hour, and then have it be a half an hour long or something like that.
Okay, I think that's a terrible suggestion.
I don't know. It's not without its charm.
I like the BFF part. I think anything BFF is good.
The BFF radio hour is good.
But then it just got too complicated. It got weighed down in its own ideas and cleverness.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of things that, you know, like parody long names of 60s variety shows, but like how many of those long named 60s variety shows were there?
Yeah, and so
am I wrong?
No, they're definitely,
that's what it's parodying.
There
70s?
Definitely comes a point at which you really have to kind of cut bait on that one and actually just pick a name that's an actual name,
right?
As opposed to just a nonsense combination of things that you think are cute. You know what I mean? Okay, this is some ideas we had. We already discussed the Bombardment Society. Put that up on the blog. People were ambivalent about that. Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know, the Bombardment Society.
We're bombarding you with audio.
Exactly. Somebody suggested, I put this up on Ask Metafilter, which is this nice internet website where you put up a question and then people answer it. Mm-hmm. So I put up the question, what should we name it? Somebody suggested the Talk of Young America, which is simple, but I think confusing, and I think it also compounds the error of us having named the show The Sound of Young America in the first place.
Right, so let's not go back to that well.
Yeah, too long, too complicated. Kite Flying Club, it's like the Bombardment Society, but probably a little less good.
Yeah.
Then we had this idea where we would name it after William Carlos Williams line, just because we both like William Carlos Williams. So these are the ideas we had. I don't know.
His poems, basically, if you don't know a lot about William Carlos Williams, his poems are basically line after line of great band names.
Exactly.
So if you're like thinking of something to name your, you know, kind of hoity-toity indie rock band, just pull up a William Carlos Williams poem and pick a line. There you go. Band name.
And this is basically the system by which we figured we would be able to name The Sound of Young America. Plus, you know, we both like William Carlos Williams.
Right. I mean, absolutely. I'm not saying that about him to be, you know, reductive. That's all he's good at. He's fantastic. But
okay. So we have This Is Just to Say, which is both kind of talking themed, and it also is the name of that poem about eating somebody else's plums from the refrigerator.
Right.
Which is one of my favorite poems. We'll put it up on the blog. We've got The Stupidity of Man, which I can't even remember what that's from, but it's from some William Carlos Williams thing I was looking at. What do you think about The Stupidity of Man, Jordan?
There's something about it. It's a little mean.
Yeah.
But this is primarily for the internet, and the internet is a mean place.
Yeah, it
loves
mean stuff.
So I think it kind of fits. I mean, the internet is basically about, you know, people indulging their meanness.
And say it.
Say it.
Exclamation mark. Which is good because it implies some kind of outrageousness.
Right. Anything with an outrageousness.
But you really liked Say It.
I like Say It. It's from a great Williams line, one of my favorites. And yeah, I mean, there's just something about it. It's easy to say, you know, it's easy to type if you wanted to Google search it. I don't know. It's something about Say It I really like.
Okay, and then there's Untitled Thorne Morris Project, which is what it's been to this point.
It's maybe a little too ironic.
Yeah,
the name, the Untitled Thorne Morris Project. But you know what? I think it has some legs, and I think like it, you know, it's illustrative.
Yeah, I the one thing I don't like about it is I feel like it's something that would have been on the front of it, like a T-shirt in that kind of like edgy typewriter font in like 1992.
Yeah. It's a little bit past its prime, but I like that it has our last names in it.
I feel like we might as well just name the show something which a couple people actually have suggested, which is insert show name here.
Right. Or the show formerly known as something.
Exactly. So I kind of feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jordan, finalists here. Untitled Thorne Morris Project, The Bombardment Society, Say It, The Stupidity of Man.
Sure. Top four.
Okay, that's a top four. We're going to put those on the Sound of Young America blog and let you vote, and we'll have this thing decided within a few days.
Let's do it.
Let's get on to order of business number two, which is pirates and the replacement thereof.
Last week, if you didn't hear it, we discussed what we could use to replace pirates as the kind of catch-all young person thing to joke about.
Exactly. Pirates are pretty tired.
I feel like since my freshman year of college, I've been invited to maybe 24 pirate-themed parties.
I don't get invited to parties, but I presume the same would have been the case if I were invited to any parties.
Right. We're just saying it's a little tired. Those pirate movies aren't that good. Yeah. Johnny Depp's just fancying around.
It's like, seriously, if you want some pirate stuff, just go watch Captain Blood, starring Errol Flynn.
Right.
And just be done with it.
Just watch Cutthroat Island.
Wait a minute.
Starring Gina
Cutthroat
Davis.
Island.
And call it a night.
Just watch the pirate movie.
So, yes, we're trying to find something to replace that, because I know people need things to joke about, so...
Here's a one of the suggestions we got.
Hey, this is Ian Brill in San Francisco. Enjoyed the search for a new pirate-like pirate craze. And just saying that I think the old-time pilots would be a great new replacement for the tired pirates. You'd occasionally see Snoopy do the Red Baron thing, which is awesome, but other than him... Who else is there to keep the spirit alive of pilots? Even sort of sounds like pirates, but pilots have goggles and they got the scarf going on. You got the wings that are like two wings with a thing sticking up in between them, kind of like these World War One planes, or even before that, the Wright brothers. I mean, that's classy flying. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy the kind of young America. Keep it up.
So he says, that's classy flying. I thought that was really the line that sold it for
that's
me.
That's classy flying. I like it. Yeah, I mean, that World War One flying ace, I think we could also
right,
call
exactly.
it, instead of old-timey pilot.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, so it's very funny when Snoopy goes after the Red Baron, I think. It has an outfit involved, which people like about pirates. You can put on that scarf and those goggles. It's a little tougher to find,
yeah.
maybe, than the... here's something I think will prevent it from catching on, and maybe all of our suggestions have mm-hmm. this, is that I think pirate has been enduring because there's a sexy element to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, for instance, if you're going to a pirate party, the girls at the party can dress up as sexy pirate wenches. You know, it kind of has that, you know, there's that kind of...
The guys can wear sexy peg legs.
Right, sexy peg legs. You can have a sexy case of scurvy.
It's related to beer drinking.
Right, yeah, there's a drinking involved with it. So it kind of lends itself to that kind of outrageousness that people...
On the other hand, I don't know if you've ever seen an ad for Red Baron Pizza, but the whole premise of that is how sexy it is to buy a Red Baron Pizza. Because if you're a sad, lonely housewife... The Red Baron will come to your aid and you know, sweep you off your feet with a frozen pizza.
Okay,
let's hear another suggestion here.
Hey, this is Scam Booga, and good show so far. Look forward to hearing it some more. As far as a good replacement for pirates, I'm going to go with Maoris, like the island people of New Zealand, because you can do a little dance around it. You take off your shirt, you wear a little grass skirt, a lot of fun. Like I said, great show. Keep it up, and I'll be listening. See you later.
So he's suggesting Maoris. Now, one time when I was like 12, I went on a rafting trip, and each person who was on the rafting trip had like a counselor that was assigned to the raft, and they would teach you how to do like a chant, and then there one part of the rapids where it was quiet, you would have like a water fight, like a big water fight. And one of the boats, their counselor taught them these Maori chants that he had learned when he was living amongst the Maori in New Zealand. And that boat won the water fight like so badly, like it wasn't even vaguely close.
Because they were so pumped up by the Maori chant.
Yeah, that said. Now, that having been said, I think the ethnic element takes this one out.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable. I mean, yeah. I think you and I both have delicate liberal sensibilities.
Exactly.
And it's a little bit racist.
Yeah.
You know, we might as well do a ching chong dance while
yeah.
we're at it.
On the other hand, if there were real Maori chants involved, there it does have some possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you if you weren't dressing up like a Maori, but rather having a Maori celebration,
uh-huh.
a celebration, you know, in the celebrating the Maori culture.
Style.
Yeah, maybe that's a little better.
You would
but
need
yeah.
to you would need to find Maoris to consult with you on that, which would be right. relatively difficult if you didn't already live in New Zealand.
So yeah,
or perhaps southeastern Australia.
A good suggestion, but ultimately unusable.
Yeah.
Hey Jesse, this is Aaron Matthews from Canada, and I'm just calling to talk about. Well, I'm actually here to preach the virtues of frogmen Vikings to replace pirates Vikings. Lars Fredriksson from Rancid sounds like a Viking. Also, the Lost Vikings on Sega, amazing game. According to Wikipedia, there's even a genre of metal called Viking metal. Now, I'm not a metal fan, but I think that's pretty sweet. Is there pirate metal? No, there isn't. And, you know, axes, mustaches, etc. Frogmen. There are training classes for young kids who want to go and become frogmen called tadpole swimming classes. And they have spear guns. And apparently an even superior version of wetsuit called a dry suit. I just find, you know, the idea that the best thing compared to a wetsuit is basically the opposite of it, a dry suit.
So that's Aaron got me right off the bat when he called frogmen frogmen.
Yeah.
Just saying frogmen and he had my heart in his hands.
Like it's like a friend of your dad's, Dave Frogman.
Yeah, exactly. Frogmen is charming, but it's obviously far too complex. Like there's no way that you could reasonably organize. Like if you said, oh, let's have a frogmen party or let's have a frogmen core band.
Right, right.
It wouldn't mean anything to people. Now, Vikings I like.
Vikings is great. It's one of the original suggestions we had.
Yeah.
I love it.
Leif Erikson discovered America.
Right, right. He's right. The bass player from Rancid does have a Viking sounding name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool, and it has all the things that people like about pirates. I mean, you know, it has a costume. I guess Vikings are known more for raping. I mean, I guess pirates raped, though, right?
Yeah, pirates did their fair share of raping, yeah.
Anyway, but I mean...
I think at Pirates of the Caribbean, I think they bought slave women.
Right.
But generally, I think they raped.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that sexiness element is a little... It's a little diluted.
Either way, Jordan, I think we can agree that they were in a moral gray area.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's an excuse to get rowdy and it's an excuse to drink. Here's my concern, though, with Viking. I have a concern about Viking.
Okay.
Is that it's ultimately too similar, and aren't we just going to get sick of it like we got sick of pirates?
Yeah. It does give you the opportunity to talk in a Norse accent.
Yeah, I'm just worried that we're on a slippery slope, and that's my only concern with Vikings, is that we're just going to keep replacing, you know, these cultural jokes, and then, you know, it's just going to collapse on itself.
Do you have a pick, Jordan? I mean, is there something that you're kind of honing in on? Because last week I was saying pirates, because I feel like it's awesome. Last week I was saying Vikings because I felt like, well, that's... pirates only kicked up a notch.
I think when it comes down to it, Vikings is probably the front runner and maybe the ultimate best choice, but I'm just voicing a concern.
And you pretty much shot down out of the blue my suggestion of cavemen.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I admit was largely based on my passionate love affair with the comic strip BC.
Right. I think cavemen are on their way out already. There's some car insurance commercial that has cavemen. And once something is adopted by a car insurance commercial, then I think it ceases to be relevant.
There goes my geckos suggestion.
Right.
And my great rates on your car insurance suggestion.
And the general.
Yeah. What are we left with, Jordan?
Well,
I'm putting the onus back on you.
Oh, well, because I'm senior complaint.
Yeah, exactly. Wah, wah, wah. What's your suggestion?
Well, I think that I think Vikings is good, but I think if we want to get away from the problems we had with pirates, I think that cat burglar is probably the best choice.
Okay, cat burglar, because it's easy. All you have to do is wear all black and get a toque, a black toque.
Right. You can have a mask. You can have a jailbird outfit if you want. But really, what seals the deal is the big bag with the dollar sign on it.
Yeah, or a handful of costume jewelry.
Right. there's a sexiness involved.
Lady cat burglars are even sexier than gentleman cat burglars.
Right, exactly. You can like do a gymnastic flip over some lasers.
Really good excuse to have a pencil thin mustache.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, cat burglars it is, Jordan.
Yay, I'm the winner.
The court of the Honorable John Hodgman is hereby called to order. The Honorable John Hodgman presiding in the case of Jordan D. Morris versus Lauren Pasternak with respect to the stuff that they would buy for their shared apartment.
Hello, Lauren. Hello, Jordan.
Hi, John.
I want to remind you that I am not actually appointed a judge in any court in the land, but I am a skilled arbiter, and my arbitration shall be binding.
Okay. I pledge here on the radio to do whatever you say. I think I'm prepared to follow whatever advice you give, which I'm pretty positive will come out in my favor.
Presenting her case first, the plaintiff, Miss Lauren Pasternak.
Hi, John. So I need help.
What's the problem, Lauren? Well,
thank you. You would think it seems like it shouldn't be a problem, so I feel kind of silly even addressing it. But it's Jordan absolutely refuses to buy anything with the logic. We moved into this apartment together.
Yes.
It's a really nice apartment in Hollywood, very cute, unfurnished. So we both moved in with nothing.
Right.
And when we first moved in, I figured the most logical thing to do was to make a list of the things that I figured we really needed to spend money on first, like maybe a couch or some pans, mm-hmm. table and chairs, things like that. Nothing extravagant, you mm-hmm. know? And Jordan's solution to when I showed him this list was, or not his solution, his response was, I think we'll just get all that for free. We'll just end up getting that for free somehow. I don't think we need to buy anything.
I see.
And so since then I've gradually begun to buy things, here and there. I'll pick up little things and it's beginning to get furnished, and Jordan's contributed so far, a clock.
Yes.
And...
But that deck
a DVD
of,
player and a deck,
deck
of
cards.
Yeah, the deck of cards. He was so proud. He came home like a champion with his deck of cards. But
now
I could really use some help, you know?
Okay. Can you tell me what sort of things you have purchased?
Yes, I got a table, all mm-hmm. of our, everything in
a
the kitchen.
A dining room table or a coffee table?
Dining room table.
Okay.
Everything in the kitchen, a TV. I got, I did buy a DVD player and then that broke. And so Jordan bought us another one.
Mm-hmm.
Bookshelves, rugs. What else do we have in our apartment? Table. I mean, like a mm-hmm. table for under the TV, little tables for corners and things. I've stocked our kitchen several times. Food,
yes,
condiments, everything.
Oh, with condiments?
Mm-hmm. Lots of condiments.
I don't want to get into food stuffs. I don't want to get into any perishables at this point.
Okay. Okay.
That's a whole other realm.
Whole other thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you might need to get into maritime
law.
Whoa,
the new shower head.
Am I talking to you, Jordan?
Sorry.
You just chill out for a second.
So and a lot of this stuff is just time consuming. It takes a while to try to find stuff. A couch, which actually we did end up getting for free.
You
although
did
I
end
to
up
admit
getting
it.
The couch for free.
We did.
Mm-hmm. I need to ask a perhaps uncomfortable question at this point.
Uh-oh.
Are you and Jordan roommates or are you lovers?
Roommates.
Okay. There is no other sort of relationship between, no business relationship, no, you're not collaborating on a book together or starting a small nail and brad firm out of your apartment. There's no other relationship other than friendly co-dwelling.
We think about things like that quite a bit.
Right.
But I would say it's safe to say that it's just roommates and good friends.
And do you split the rent evenly?
We do.
Okay. And you each have your own private bedroom?
Well, kind of, actually.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. We cheated the system a little bit. It's mm-hmm. technically one bedroom and a den.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan has the bedroom, so he has a door and a closet. Mm-hmm. And I have the den, which has kind of little pull doors that don't close all the way and no closet. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of in a little addition to the living room.
I see. And the TV and the couch and the table, dining room table, et cetera, where are they in the apartment?
All in the living room, dining room area, which is kind
so
of one.
In a common area that is mm-hmm. distinctly not yours.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you to pause for this moment. Jordan, do you dispute any of these facts?
Oh, I think she said she bought everything for the kitchen. I brought some mugs I took from work and a set of IKEA bowls and plates.
Which you also got for free?
Yes, my mom gave them to me.
Okay. But otherwise, the Lauren has related the situation accurately.
Yes, that sounds About right.
And aside from your little petty little, I brought the mugs business, you have nothing major to add to the basic facts of the story as they've been related to me?
That's reasonable.
Okay. What's your side of this story then, now that we've established the facts?
I'm a simple guy. I don't have a lot of, I've never had a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And what you have gotten for free.
Right. I've gotten for free or picked up from somebody I met on the internet.
Or, for example, sponging off of your roommates, for example. You get stuff for free that way, presumably.
I don't take anything from a house that I didn't, you know.
Your dad once did give you one of those folding camping chairs. That was your primary, that was the primary thing that you owned in my experience.
Yeah. One of the saddest things that I've ever done in my life was go with my kind of divorced vagabond dad to his used store it because he heard I was moving into my own place. So he's like, "Oh, let's go down to the used store it, and I'll get you some." I have a bunch of stuff in this used store it, and it was just like the saddest place I'd ever been. There was like it was full of like Japanese dolls and like old calendars and Playboys from the 70s and. You know, there's basically nothing in there I could take to an apartment. Nothing in there.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe you should go live in the used store, which is packed full of your dad's crummy stuff, and there you could lead the obviously isolated, sponging lifestyle that you are most accustomed to?
You know,
without sharing anything with your friends?
I've considered it.
Yeah.
I could just shower at the gym.
Look, I mean, all right. It sounds like I'm coming down pretty hard on you, but I actually am quite impartial in this issue, and in fact, I am currently wearing a blindfold. So you know that I'm not going to take sides.
And you have one bosom showing.
Well, always. But that's because I have a skin condition. Now, Lauren, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you ask of Jordan to redress this situation? Are you primarily frustrated with the fact that he has not contributed financially to any of these purchases? Or are you primarily frustrated because you would like him to join you in your little redecoration efforts and he just doesn't seem to be interested?
Well, I guess I would say it's more financially. I feel like a lot of the reason why you have a roommate when you're young is to help out with certain things like that. So you can go in on it together because there's no way I would be able to do it on my own, really.
Right.
And so it'd be nice to have someone who wanted to contribute to the apartment. And it'd be fun if he wanted to, you know, I mean, like sand a table with me or paint or stain or do, you know, the things that I like doing. But I know
none
he
of
doesn't.
That. First of all, let me just stipulate to the fact that none of that is fun.
I think it's fun, John. I'm learning, you know, I'm teaching myself how to do all these things and it's exciting and Jordan doesn't care.
That's true. But also, you know, surely you've shared an apartment or a dwelling before.
I have, but
when
never.
When you were schooled in Gestalt or wherever you went to school, in a nice boarding school or whatever, or other apartments, right?
I did, but I've never lived with just one person.
Have you not learned at this point that your idea of fun is not anyone else's idea of fun?
Maybe I just lived with the right people. There were people who joined in my idea of painting and
brought
projects.
Worthless bric-a-brac into the home that you all hated ultimately by the time you left and had to throw away, I understand.
That's more Jordan, actually. He brought in a shelf yesterday that he found by the garbage, figuring if we were going to be needing shelving at any time, that would be the shelf to use.
Right.
Which means he brings it in and then I'll paint it and fix it up and put it up.
So the damages you are seeking, if we were to use legal terminology, is that you wish for him to contribute financially to your purchases and reimburse you halfway for the purchases you've already made?
No, I don't think it's – I wouldn't ask him to contribute for this stuff.
You just want him to stop
stuff.
Being such a jerk.
Basically, just contribute a little bit. All like, right. Help out, you know? Like, nothing.
You specifically want him to contribute in some unspecified amount such that no matter what he does, you can say it's not enough. I understand. Very good. And Jesse, you say that an amicus brief has been filed by a caller?
Yes, Your Honor. We have an amicus or friend of the court brief.
Please just call me sir.
As far as Jordan's housemate dispute, my advice would be not to get involved with that at all. Because, I mean, unless you're in a relationship with somebody, you should definitely you should definitely live your own life, I guess is what I'm saying. And that, you shouldn't... get that involved with roommates. You know, I think it's sort of like a sign thing that either one or both of them should probably live by themselves. But that's just my opinion.
That was from Scambooga.
Oh, is that some mysterious serial killer that you know? He sounded awfully grim.
I hope he's not a mysterious serial killer, but I have no way of knowing.
His point was that you and I, Jesse, should not get involved in this dispute, or that they should not get involved in this dispute and live separately.
I think his point was that Jordan should somehow extricate himself from the situation by withdrawing into his room and or living separately.
I see.
And his room could be both literal or metaphorical.
Okay, I think I understand the whole situation, unless anyone has something else to add.
I think I've stated my piece.
Jordan?
I don't like spending money on tables.
Okay.
And I would like to just add that as far as I know, Jordan and Lauren eat primarily with plastic children's forks from IKEA.
On the floor. We sit on the floor, as Jordan tells me, that we don't need to buy chairs for our
like
dining
room
table.
It's like a fun picnic. Every meal is a fun picnic. And it's adorable.
And granted, Lauren brought home a dining room table, but they have no dining room chairs.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I thought to myself, I should ask if she has purchased chairs, but then I thought, well, that's ridiculous. That would be a redundant use of radio airtime, because she must have chairs, but I guess the answer is no, eh?
No chairs yet. Nope. I figured I got the table. Maybe Jordan would get the chairs.
You see some chairs on the horizon?
I slow down every time I see people who have put stuff out by the garbage. Maybe I am actively looking for chairs.
Maybe a bench.
I was thinking bench. That's John. That's exactly what I said. I said a bench would be fine.
Is it a circular table or is it rectangular?
Rectangular.
Oh, okay. At least you have some sense.
I'd also like to stipulate that neither of them is living at what might be called a poverty or starving artist's level. Neither is affluent, but both have jobs that afford them a reasonable income for a person of their age.
And let me ask you this question before I retire my chambers to consider my decision. Do you currently have an arrangement with regard to food in the house? Do you buy your own food and keep it separate? Do you pitch in together on common staples such as cream and bread? Or do you pool money together and share all food, including condiments?
I thought we weren't going into food, John, but since
we're...
Well,
No. I just wanted to separate that issue for the moment.
Okay.
Because it is a separate issue, but one that might be a guiding issue in my decision. If there is a precedent that has been set in terms of sharing the financial burdens of the household, I would like to know what it is.
When we first moved in, we would go shopping together and just buy things together and split it. But since then, Jordan has retired to pretty much only eating chicken nuggets and string cheese and juice boxes. So when I go to the supermarket, I just buy those things for him so that we have them in the house.
And does he reimburse you for those purchases?
No, but sometimes he'll, you know, buy some ice cream on his way home, or he'll pick up little things to try to make up for it. I think
I do think I bought you pantyhose one time. I think maybe that helps my case. I did go to Rite Aid and buy pantyhose.
Do you sit down to meals together, or do you just eat catch as catch can whenever you individually feel like it?
I feel like this is worth putting out there. We get takeout a lot of times together, which we split.
Do you actually split it?
We do.
Okay.
We both
work kind of low level TV jobs, so most of the eating we do in our lives.
I don't need you to plug your careers.
Ever heard of a little show called Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Who? Which one of you?
Jordan.
Me.
Oh, really? What do you work on, Lauren?
Scrubs.
Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I think that answers it. Thanks, Jordan. You lose.
Your show is better.
The money is in syndication, as I understand it.
I don't care about money. I only care about prestige. But go on. So what else? You take out food.
Most of the eating that Lauren and I do in our lives is done via craft service. Show business has an abundance of food and snacks. So I think we do most of our eating with craft service, and rarely do we eat a meal at home.
But on the weekends, I think I cook a lot, and I always at least invite Jordan to eat with me, although very often he doesn't like when I'm cooking too many vegetables or whatever.
Don't like tomatoes. Don't like tomatoes.
But I'd say we eat. I mean, we eat together when we're home.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I have all the information I require. I'm going to retire to my chambers and consider my judgment. I'll be right back with my decision.
Please rise. The Honorable Judge Hodgman is returning to his chambers to deliberate.
Jesse, if you could give me a hand, I am still blindfolded, so I don't. Okay.
Help him with his sword.
Please rise and welcome the Honorable Judge Hodgman back to the chambers. No, to the courtroom.
The bench.
The bench. To the bench to render his decision in the case of Jordan v. Lauren.
So I've given this a lot of thought and looked up many precedents, including my own experience living in shared households, both of the more business-like variety, where people kept mostly to themselves, and to the more family-style variety, where we all passed around a big bowl of pasta at the table and ended up all getting sick at the same time. And my feeling is this. You are currently both wrong. And I would say, first of all, Jordan, you're a skinflint. And you need to start contributing in some fashion, commensurate with the contributions that Lauren is making. And I leave it to you to figure out how to do that financially or in terms of returned favors. You know, you have to come to some sort of balance. But because that is what justice is, after all, as we've learned from Batman Begins, not revenge, but balance. But that said, Lauren, I think that you are making a big mistake. The two of you seem to be approaching this cohabitation as though you are an old married couple.
Which is kind of how we interact with each other.
Well, you know, I think that that's a dangerous way to approach this cohabitation, because if you wish it to last, you must recognize that you do not have the investment of either romance or marriage that makes all of this bickering worthwhile. You are not a domestic partnership in the way domestic partners are. You are individuals, sole proprietors, sole agents in the world who are currently sharing a space in what should, to my mind, be a purely business relationship. And the proof of this misapprehension of your living situation is the fact, Lauren, that you cannot even articulate what specific damages or compensation you wish for Jordan to pay in order to make up for these grievances. You are staying within a pure realm of sort of like, he'll never live up to what I want from him, and that's not something I can help you with. So what I would advise immediately is that you guys come to some basic baseline decisions about how you're going to divide what is the only responsibility that should be of your concern to you, the financial responsibility of the living situation. I presume you split the rent equally, 50-50 at this point? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not fair because Lauren lives in a closet.
A closet without its own closet.
I would say that, you should adjust the split of the rent, first of all, to reflect the difference between Jordan's palatial living and Lauren's obviously, you know, horrible Cinderella-like existence. And then I would similarly go through each kind of expense and come to some agreement ahead of time from now on as to how that's going to be split. Now, Jordan wants to live like a crazy person on deck furniture surrounded by raccoons alone in his little room. That may not make him the best roommate, but that is a lifestyle choice that he can choose because he is not a married person.
Also, it's a family. It's a family tradition for George.
And it's a family tradition as well. Lauren wants to live like a human being and be part of the world that she inhabits and engage in it like a normal human being. I think it's extremely admirable, but you have no obligation, and really I think it's a fool's errand to attempt to bring this troglodyte along with you on the road to humanity. So what I would say is that you should give up delusions, express distinctly the basic things that you want to have in the apartment, and see if you can agree to get Jordan to agree to fund some purchase thereof. Now, the other way to do it, and I mean, I think this is also sort of the long-written pioneer's code of sharing apartments, is if you bring something into the apartment, either by purchasing or bringing it, you leave with it. It is yours. One thing that you do not wish to necessarily get into is once you get Jordan to pay for 40% of the dining room chairs, for example, does he get to keep 40% of the chairs when you split up? I mean, I think one sane thing to do is simply to acknowledge, well, I am living with some kind of proto-man who does not, you know, adhere to the norms of civilization as I know it. I do not want to live that way. I am going to make the investment in these things, and they will be things that I will get to keep for the rest of my life and retain ownership during both the time of use and thereafter. The only thing that you then have to worry about is whether how Jordan is going to compensate you to some degree for, the wear and tear on these items during the time of cohabitation. And in this, I think you can simply arrange a simple sort of barter situation. Well, if I buy these chairs, you won't bring home any more shitty sofas full of vermin and lice or something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I could not more wholeheartedly advise Jordan to contribute more to the household, and including things that are nice and not found on the street or given to him by his depressive parents. But that said, since Lauren asked for no firm damages, I can only give you guys the greatest advice, you know, the best advice possible, and that is, you know, lower expectations, realize that this is a friendly relationship, but if you want it to remain a friendly relationship, it must become a business relationship right quick, or else you're going to end up with your hands around your throats, and who's going to pay for that? It's impossible.
Jesse.
You see what I'm saying? But let's start, first of all, with the chairs. You need to get chairs for the dining room.
We do.
It's true.
Now,
although haven't we had some fun floor picnics? We'll put on a movie.
But it's nice to have the option of sitting at a table.
Listen, you crazy kids. I don't want to get into your lover's talk. I just want to get to the bottom of these chairs. Who's going to buy them?
I nominate Jordan.
You think Jordan should buy the chairs?
I do.
All right. Are you going to have any approval over what these chairs are like?
Or? Oh, yes, I better.
Okay. So, Jordan, I sentence you to finding a set of at least 4 up to 6 matching chairs to go with this table.
Matching? What are we, in Nazi Germany?
I'm just so far, this is gonna bring you guys up to even so far in this whole relationship, okay? You have to find them. You can find them for free. You can find them on Craigslist. You can find them at a yard sale. They are subject to Lauren's approval. You can spend as much or as little on them as you wish. And when those chairs are in place, you guys are even. And from then on, I strongly urge you to determine some policy that you are going to follow with regard to outfitting this apartment. And I suspect that policy, the wise thing should be, unfortunately for you, Lauren, you buy what you want and intend to keep it afterward.
And pray Jordan doesn't ruin it.
Well, obviously, if Jordan ruins it, he's got to compensate you for the wear and tear. So how can he compensate you for the wear and tear over time proactively? Pantyhose.
lots of pantyhose.
Okay, then that is my ruling.
Judgment has been rendered. Jordan, do you accept the ruling?
I do. I will acquire 4 matching dining room chairs.
Lauren, do you accept the ruling?
I do. I think it's fair.
All right. Well, I'll leave you guys be. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Okay, thanks John.
I have rules.
Okay, we're going to play Would You Rather. We've got with us here Lauren Pasternak, as well as James Real, the master of Would You Rather. Good to see you here, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Jesse. It's nice to be here.
Here's how Would You Rather works. And if I miss anything, Jordan, just fill it in, okay?
It's been a while since we played Would You Rather.
It's been a long time, although Jim and I played Would You Rather at the live Sound of Young America in New York City with Kurt Anderson of Studio 360.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of him?
Yes, from radio.
Yeah, exactly. Here's how Would You Rather works. Jim will present us with two choices, two divergent options. Could be any kind, two activities, two physical objects, two states, two, you know, personal conditions, just two choices.
It's usually two magical things that happen.
Exactly. Jim will then explain those two to the best of his ability and present us with that choice. We can then ask questions of Jim to clarify. He's the master of Would You Rather. He knows the answers. And then, ultimately, each of the three of us, myself, Jordan, and Lauren, will make our decision, and Jim will tell us whether we are wrong or right. Because Jim, as the master of Would You Rather, knows the answers. Jim, what's our Would You Rather for today?
Okay, boys and girls. Today's Would You Rather. Would you rather develop an immunity to the common cold and flu or win 3 Olympic gold medals?
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think we've both dreamed of both of these.
I definitely and these have, and specifically 3. I've never wanted to win just one, but
right.
3 Olympic medals.
I think they call it a hat trick in the Olympic community.
Jim, I have a question for you.
3-peat.
Yeah, Jesse.
These 3 Olympic medals, do we get to choose what event they are in? Are they all in the same event? Are they 3 different events? Also, are they all in the same Olympics or are they different Olympics?
You know, you can choose whichever 3 any 3 events that you want. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time wondering about should this just be in 1 Olympics or spread out through 3, because spread out through 3 would be, you know, quite a triumph.
It'd be an amazing run.
But it's just going to be in 1 Olympics.
You win it in 3 different events.
3 different, it could be, yeah, 3 completely different events if you want, but 1 single Olympic.
That would be either 1 Winter Olympic or 1 Summer Olympic. You couldn't say I choose biathlon in the Winter Olympics, which is cross-country skiing and skeet shooting, and then decathlon and triathlon. I don't think triathlon is an Olympic event, but in the Summer Olympics.
Right. Just choose one event in that year.
Let's talk about this cold immunity. Mm. Are you, when you have this cold immunity, are you some sort of famous, are you some sort of like famous freak of medical science where everyone knows you're immune to the cold, or are you just immune to the cold? I'm asking specifically for could I still fake a cold if I wanted to have a day off of work?
No, you're not certainly, you know, known
you're
as
famous
Jordan
anti-cold
boy
guy.
Wonder. But, you know, like no one tells you, hey, you have this immunity now. It's just, your biology, you just don't get colds.
You've just never had a cold or flu.
Never in your life.
Oh, it's cold and flu.
Common cold and flu.
Oh.
This is stomach flu as well.
Does it include stomach flu?
No, how many flus are there? We're not talking about bird flus. Just like your regular, you know, when you stay home from school and you're throwing up and you got a temperature of 102,
but not the avian flu,
not crazy flus,
none of those oriental flus.
So you could still get all the flus that would kill you.
Bird flu, monkey flu, Taco Bell flu.
Potentially. Yeah.
3 gold medals. And this would include all the benefits therewith. Let me ask you this question. I'm not known for my physique. Would I be in Olympic shape, or would I be like me, only I somehow
I think that would be more sort of, you know,
the
wondrous. And, no, you are in peak physical condition for whichever sport you're competing in.
If you won with your physique, the newspaper headline would be "Dumpy Guy Runs Faster Than You'd Think."
What about this question? This is a similar vein. I know that Olympic athletes work, with the exception of that one guy, Bodie Miller,
work exceptionally hard and are well known for training all the time. Would I have to go to the Olympic complex in figure skating and train just like a normal Olympic athlete? Or would I more or less, step on the ice? I don't know how I became an ice skater, but step on the ice and just, take care of it. Take it from there.
There certainly is some level of training and preparation. It's not a magical, okay, here you are. You're now a solid physical specimen.
Is it an Olympic level of training, or is it just a modest level of training like I would do if I was interested in becoming good at basketball?
It's not on the level of you are a super trainer. It's you're this guy who doesn't put in minimal effort, but you put in some effort and get just marvelous results.
Okay, let me ask you this other question. When I pick the events, presuming that I chose the Olympics, if I pick the events, do they have to be events that make sense together? Or could I pick, say,
that ribbon dance and swimming
and basketball?
They could be as unrelated as you wish.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Changes everything.
I'm ready.
Okay, Jordan, what's your pick?
I'm going to go with Olympics.
Okay, why is that?
Endorsement deals.
Okay.
Attention. I love that.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing with the cold and flu. I guess I don't get a lot of colds and flus. So it's never really been that much of an issue for me in my, in my life. Mm-hmm. And when I have had one, it's kind of been, a welcome day off from school or work or something like that. So I guess I even kind of associate, they're kind of positives, for me, because I stayed home from work because I had the flu. It was great. I played Zelda and, I watched a Netflix. It was great. I threw up a little bit, but what are you going to do? So
you got some ginger ale out of it.
Yeah, I got some ginger ale.
A little bell that your mom gives you to ring in case you're having trouble.
Yeah, I guess it would be nice. When I had kids or something. I guess when you have kids, you get a lot of colds. But I'm not ready to settle down.
Well, something to consider is that particularly in your old age and in people's old age. Just a regular cold or flu is something that could potentially kill you.
Right. That's something that I was considering when I was considering this, and I'm not ready to make my choice. I'm going to want to hear Lauren's choice before I decide. But something that I was considering is that, unlike the two of you, Lauren and Jordan, I'm not gainfully employed. And so I really there, but for the grace of God, go I to the, to 6 feet under when it comes to medical insurance, healthcare, things like that. If it can't be fixed with a, but the thing, the catch with that is, well, what if I get avian bird flu, Chinese bird flu, and then I'm not even immune to that anyway, and that's the one that'll really get you. The rest of them, I can take some aspirin and I can just buy at the drugstore for $5, which is my healthcare budget. But a bird flu, that'll get you, and I'm not even immune to that anyway. Lauren, what's your pick?
Well, the bird flu put it over for me too, but I think I have to agree with Jordan and go for the Olympic gold medals. From what I've seen, my cousin is actually an Olympic gold medalist, and she is doing...
What? Your cousin is an Olympic gold medalist?
She is.
In what?
Ice skating.
Your dad used to work for Sports Night?
I'm just saying, she won the gold medal, she's written books, she now goes to Yale, and, it opens doors to pretty much...
What kind of gold medal did she win? What kind of ice skating?
Sarah Hughes, she won...
That doesn't mean anything.
She won the gold medal for female...
That's a famous Olympic skater.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. It totally is.
Lauren could have told me that she won the gold medal in triple sow cow, and I would have just nodded like that. Oh, yeah, of course you can win a gold medal in that.
My cousin, beat Michelle Kwan when she fell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Your cousin is the one that beat Michelle Kwan when she fell? I thought that was Tanya Harding.
No. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
No, yes. That's
the Nancy Kerrigan era.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You're thinking of 12 years ago.
Wait, so how do Hitler and Jesse Owens fit into all of this?
Jesse.
So anyway.
Let's talk about this Max Schmeling character.
And I think if you were in Olympic shape, it's very doubtful that you would be catching the common cold and flus. And
no, that's a good,
because
that's
you're
a
in
great
amazing
point.
Shape.
That's
there's
a great
no way.
Point.
You're eating healthy. You're training. I think it's got the whole package. It encompasses basically being immune to anything.
I am so lazy that there's this part of me that really just wants to pick cold and flu just because that way I wouldn't have to do any training. But on the other hand, I bet training would be kind of fun if I didn't have to do it like quite at the level of an Olympic person, but also whatever I was training at, I was exceptionally good at. Because like one, I used to play sports and I was never any good at that, but I liked that pretty good. But if I was really good at it, I bet I would have loved it, you know? So that's... And
you have a if you already have a natural knack for it, it's enjoyable.
Okay, I'm going for the Olympics. Jordan, what medals do you win?
Foofy ribbon dance.
Uh-huh.
100 meter breast.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I want to be on the dream team. I'm going to go basketball. I want to be on the dream team.
What about you, Lauren? What are your three medals?
I actually really wanted to go for breaststroke too, so I'm going to take it, even though Jordan took it.
It's a good stroke. Well, you'll be in the women's breast, and I'll be in the men's 100-meter breast.
Oh, and we could have our medals together in our apartment laying there. Right. And shot put. Yeah, want to be a shot put gold medalist.
Shot put.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You're going to have to work on that before you get to camp.
And I think, what about soccer? I'm gonna do soccer.
Yeah.
They have the Olympics for that?
It's the world sport.
I don't think so. But
no,
I
bet they do.
They probably do.
They bet they do.
They have the World Cup for that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm definitely on the dream team. There's no doubt about that. I'm also going to be... I'm definitely going to be doing team handball, which I think is just really cool. It's kind of like basketball, a little bit like hockey. There's a small, meaty, kind of like one of those balls you'd play four square with, they play with, and it's really, really a cool thing. It's only in the Olympics, as far as I can tell. And then I would also like to do the 110 meter hurdles. I just think hurdle. No, wait. I lied. Steeplechase. That's something, right? Where you have to jump over like water.
That's not a horse.
Isn't there one?
I don't think there's horses allowed in the Olympics.
I think there's one where it's just you and the hurdles, and but on the other side of the hurdle, there's a water pit. That's the one I want.
Oh, you're thinking of Double Dare.
Okay,
I
pick
dressage.
Okay. Whatever it is, I pick it, and my fourth is, you know, should it happen, Double Dare.
Okay, I have a gold medal in Double Dare.
Did we get a pick from Lauren?
Yeah, Lauren picked.
I actually think I should change one of my picks. Forget soccer, and I think I'm going to go to cross country skiing.
Okay, but that's a winter sport. You can't pick that.
I can't.
You can only you have to stay with summer or winter.
But didn't she choose ice skating? And
oh yeah, but then she picked soccer, and I got confused. Yeah, so what does she have? Ice skating.
I didn't say ice skating, but we can go ice skating.
Okay.
I said the shot put.
Okay, the shot
the
put. That's a summer.
100
that's a
breast.
Summer.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm.
100 breasts.
So you have to pick another summer.
Oh, I got
to
pick another summer.
Bear fight.
Yeah, bear fight sounds good. How about just a regular dash? Give me a dash or two.
Okay, just a dash.
Yeah, just a dash.
A fast dash.
Kind of a FloJo type of thing.
Like some sort of FloJo dash.
Yeah, gotcha. Jim, are we correct or incorrect?
Well, I certainly wasn't expecting any sort of unanimous decision, but I think this is maybe probably only the second time in Would You Rather history where you all are correct. It's
yes!
Gold medal Olympics. And I wrestled around with this one a lot, and you know, life is very precious. But you know, when it's all said and done, most colds and most flus are, as Jordan pointed out, you know, minor inconveniences, and until you get you're in a more weaker stage in life, and you know, by that time, I think you would rather have had the glory and the self confidence and all that of winning
by that time, a
gold medal athlete.
You're just really happy that your local newspaper is doing a feature story on the octogenarian Olympic champion in our midst.
Right. Definitely. So congratulations, guys.
All right. Would you rather?
Yeah.
Well, that's about all the time we have for the Untitled Thorne Morris podcast. I've been Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I've been Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I urge you to tell your friends about the Thorne Morris podcast. You can visit us on the internet at MaximumFun.org. We will have detailed show notes of the program, the ability to discuss the show with us. And of course, if you have any thoughts or opinions about the program, or if there's something you'd like to discuss on the show, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN. That's 206-984-4FUN. We'd like to thank the great John Hodgman for appearing on today's broadcast.
His book, The Areas of My Expertise, is available in bookstores everywhere.
And is well worth the purchase. In fact, if you donate this month to the Sound of Young America at the $10 a month level at MaximumFun.org, we have autographed copies of that book to give to people. So either run out to the store to buy it or donate and support the Sound of Young America. And, the most important thing of all is visit our website and vote on what should be our name.
That's MaximumFun.org.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.